to help with defray the cost of camp. So if you'd like to buy some of those this evening, it's my understanding it's like a fire sale. So big, highly discounted items if you want those tonight, okay? Thank you.
And now we sing. First song, I Would Not Be Denied, page 238. Everybody looks confused. Oh. Sounds not on. Now it is, right? No? Say something. Is it on now? Is it on now? No? It confuses the sound system, too. There we go, right? No? I mean, we can sing. It's I Would Not Be Denied, page 238. Yeah, now they tell me, shh. The Glory Land Way is our second song, page 253. I'm in the way, the bright and shining way. I'm in the Glory Land Way, telling the world that Jesus saves today. Yes, I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. Heaven is nearer and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the Glory Land. List to the call, the gospel call today. Get in Glory Land Way. Wonders come home, hasten to obey and get in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. I'm in the Glory Land Way. Heaven is near love. I'm in the glory land way. Soon I shall see Him in that home above. Oh, I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. I'm in the glory land way. Heaven is near and the way groweth clearer, for I'm in the glory land way. All right, our last song is Kneel at the Cross, page 256. Kneel at the cross, Christ will meet you there. Come while He waits for you. List to His voice, leave with Him your care, and begin life anew. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Cross, there is room for all who would His glory share. Bliss there awaits, harm can ne'er befall those who are anchored there. Kneel at the cross. Cross, give your idols up, look unto realms above. Turn not away to life's sparkling cup, trust only in His love. Kneel at the cross.
If I could get a couple of ushers, we'll take up our tithes and offerings. Dad, would you lead us in prayer, please? Get your bulletins out. We'll go through our prayer request again tonight. I'm going to try to mention all of these, I want us to pray in particular, maybe for the ones that were not printed in the bulletin that we had this morning. Pray for our president, our nation's leaders, all the judges of our country, those in the military, those on the cancer and long-term physical needs list. Continue to pray for Megan and Lindsay as they await their babies, for all of our missionaries, in particular the Sam Smith family in Grove. Always for our church and for each other, for souls to be saved. Wanda Bookout has surgery in the morning. Pray for her that that would go well. Eddie Bibles has surgery also in the morning. Pray that that would go well for him. Rosalie Briggs went to the to Oklahoma City. It was Tuesday or Wednesday, somewhere along in there, and she was scheduled for some tests, and they found a couple of things that they wanted to do more testing on. Then they got her blood too thin for her artificial heart pump, and so, but she is okay. And they've got everything done except for getting her blood back where it needs to be, or that was as of Friday, I think. She's hoping to be able to come home no later than Tuesday, so pray for Rosalie. Barbara Wellman, having problems again with her heart, being out of rhythm. She goes to the heart doctor tomorrow. Dennis Moss is home recovering from his surgery. Pray for him. Jerry Belair, I think she said he'd been sick all week, so pray for Jerry. Mark Waite. This is the gentleman that was in the ATV accident, and Jan Cherry. Probably, unless God intervenes, she will not have much longer to live. So please pray for her and for her family. Richard, would you lead us in prayer this evening? Open your Bibles to 1 Samuel chapter 20. 1 Samuel 20. This is a sort of a turning point in the story of David and Saul. Up to this point, although Saul has made several attempts on David's life, David has stayed in and around Jerusalem, somewhat active in the army of Israel, still going out some of the times and fighting Israel's enemies. After chapter 20, if we get to the end of it tonight, after this chapter, it marks the time when David flees Saul and remains a fugitive until Saul's death. So chapter 20, verse 1, and David fled from Naoth in Ramah. You remember he was there with Samuel, and came and said before Jonathan, "What have I done? What is mine iniquity, and what is the sin? What is my sin before the Father? That he seeketh my life." And he said unto him, Jonathan said to David, "God forbid thou shalt not die. Behold, my father will do nothing either great or small, but that he will show it me. And why should my father hide this thing from me? It is not so." You remember earlier, I don't remember if it was chapter 19, maybe it was 18, but you remember Jonathan confronted Saul about his desire to kill David. And Saul promised Jonathan that he he wouldn't do it. He said, okay, you've convinced me, you've changed my mind, and I won't try to kill him. Well, after that, Saul has made at least one attempt on David's life after he made that promise. But apparently, from the first two verses of chapter 20, apparently Jonathan doesn't know that. Because David comes to him, and he wants to know what's going on, and Saul's trying to kill me. And Jonathan essentially says, oh, now, David, that's not right. Dad told me he wouldn't do that, and he wouldn't change his mind unless he let me know. That's kind of the conversation. Verse 3, and David sware moreover and said, thy father certainly knoweth that I have found grace in thine eyes. And he saith, let not Jonathan know this, lest he be grieved. But truly, as the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, there is but a step between me and death. I believe everything the Bible says, but it's interesting to me the things that it indicates sometimes that it doesn't necessarily say. I hope that makes sense. In verse 3, David tells Jonathan, well, Jonathan, he wants to kill me, but you just don't know it. And you don't know it because your dad knows that you and I are friends, and he doesn't want to upset you. Isn't that what he said? He says, let not Jonathan know this, lest he, Jonathan, be grieved. David is giving Saul quite a bit of credit, don't you think? Saul's tried to kill David several times. He sent people to try to kill David several times. He even told him one time, they said he was sick in the bed and said, well, just bring the bed and all. I want to kill him. And yet David thinks that Saul has not told Jonathan because he's concerned about Jonathan. Don't you think there's at least a possibility that Saul didn't tell Jonathan because he didn't want Jonathan to tell David, so that David could escape? But David's certainly given him the benefit of the doubt, at least at this point. Then said Jonathan unto David, whatsoever thy soul desireth, I will even do it for thee. Now, there's a verse coming up here. I didn't write it down, but maybe I'll realize it when we get there. That indicates that Jonathan still is not convinced that Saul wants to kill David. And so when we get to verse 4 and Jonathan says, well, just tell me what you want me to do, David, and I'll do it. I think it's Jonathan sort of saying, well, I'm going to prove to you that my father doesn't want to kill you. So you tell me whatever you want me to do, I'll do it. And it will come out to show that dad doesn't want to kill you. And David said unto Jonathan, behold, tomorrow is the new moon, and I should not fail to sit with the king at meat. But let me go that I may hide myself in the field unto the third day at even. Now, the new moon, this particular new moon anyway, was the first day of the month. And it was both a religious and a civil festival. And at a religious and civil festival, the king's court, his ambassadors, or whatever you want to call them, would gather for a meal. They would eat together. So David should be there. Because he's one of the commanders, not the commander, but one of the commanders of the army. So David should be present. So he says, well, tomorrow's going to be the celebration, and I'm not going to be there. Instead, verse 5, I'm going to hide myself in the field for the 3 days of the festival. obviously, Jonathan knows what field he's talking about. Matter of fact, this is one of the interesting things to me in all this. It seems like throughout all of David's running, the time that he's a fugitive, seems like Jonathan always knows where he is, and Saul never can figure it out. That's the hand of God keeping Saul away from David and his protection for David. So verse 6, he says, if thy father at all miss me, then say, David earnestly asked leave of me, that he might run to Bethlehem, his city, for there is a yearly sacrifice there for all the family. David's family, apparently on this new moon, had an annual sacrifice, an annual festival, sort of like a family reunion, and they wanted all the family to come. So David said, tell your dad, if he misses me, that that's where I am. Verse 7, if he say thus, it is well, thy servant shall have peace, but if he be very wroth, then be sure that evil is determined by him. If Saul responds by saying, well, that's okay, then I'll know there's no problem. But if he gets angry, then you know that he wants to kill me. Therefore thou shalt deal kindly with thy servant, for thou hast brought thy servant into a covenant of the Lord with thee. Notwithstanding, if there be in me iniquity, Slay me thyself, for why shouldest thou bring me to thy father? David reminds Jonathan that they have entered into a covenant, the two of them together. And he says, listen, if there's sin in me, if I've done something worthy of death, if I've done something against your father, maybe not even necessarily sin, but worthy of death, then he says, just kill me yourself. There's no need to deliver me to your father. David said, I'll submit to you. Jonathan said, far be it from thee, for I know certainly that evil was determined. For if I knew certainly that evil were determined by my father to come upon thee, then would not I tell thee? Now that's the verse I was talking about. So Jonathan's still not convinced that Saul wants to kill him. I hate to say that he's placating David, because he's not. He's trying to prove to David that what he believes to be true is true. Then David said to Jonathan, who shall tell me, or what if thy father answer thee roughly? Okay, we've got the plan. I'm going to hide in the field, and if your dad responds in anger, I'm in danger. But how am I going to know? Because I'm not going to be there. So how am I going to know? So here's how they work this out. Jonathan said unto David, come and let us go out into the field. And they went out, both of them, into the field where David was going to hide. And Jonathan said unto David, O Lord God of Israel, when I have sounded my father about tomorrow, any time, or the third day, for the 3 days of the festival, any time that I figure this out, and behold, if there be good toward David, and then I send not unto thee, and show it thee, the Lord do so, and much more to Jonathan. But if it please my father to do thee evil, then I will show it thee, and send thee away, that thou mayest go in peace, and the Lord be with thee, as he hath been with my father. One of the things that was common in ancient Israel in particular, I'm not familiar with other cultures to know, but certainly in ancient Israel, when they made a promise to somebody, you know, now we sign a document and have it notarized and witnessed before with a lawyer, or register at the county seat or something. Then they would, if they made a promise, they'd say, now, if I don't do this, let the Lord, let God, you know, bring judgment on me or something like that. That's what Jonathan was saying in verse 13. He says, listen, if I don't tell David the truth, good or bad, then let God judge me. Let the judgment of God fall upon me. Verse 14, and thou shalt not only while yet I live show me the kindness of thy Lord that I die not, but also thou shalt not cut off thy kindness from my house forever. No, not when the Lord hath cut off the enemies of David, every one from the face of the earth. So Jonathan made a covenant with the house of David, saying, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. These are a couple of pretty interesting verses. David and Jonathan have already made a covenant between the two of them. Now Jonathan wants to extend that covenant between their families. When I die, I want you to take care of my children and their children. And if you die, I'll take care of your children, and so forth and so on. That could be a hint, anyway, that Jonathan is allowing for the possibility that Saul wants to kill David. And then also he mentions in verse 16, he says, let the Lord even require it at the hand of David's enemies. And although Jonathan didn't necessarily believe it at this moment, Saul was one of David's enemies. So he's even putting his own father, I guess, in a category of making this required of God. And Jonathan caused David to swear again because he loved him, for he loved him as he loved his own soul. Then Jonathan said to David, tomorrow is the new moon, and thou shalt be missed, because thy seat will be empty at the meal. And when thou, when thou hast stayed 3 days, then thou shalt go down quickly and come to the place where thou didst hide thyself when the business was in hand, and shalt remain by the stone easel. All right, when the business was in hand, the only thing that I can figure for that, you remember David has hid once before, and Jonathan knew where he was. That's over in chapter 19. So I think maybe David's going to hide in the same place that he did once before. And he mentions the stone easel. The word easel means departure stone. And it was apparently a landmark in this field that was well known, I guess, by the people who owned the field or by the people who lived in that area. I have no idea where it is or what's happened to it, but at this time it was well known. Jonathan said, I will shoot three arrows on the side thereof as though I shot at a mark toward this rock. And behold, I will send the lad, saying, go find out the arrows. If I expressly say unto the lad, behold, the arrows are on this side of thee, take them, then come thou, for there is peace to thee and no hurt, as the Lord liveth. But if I say thus unto the young man, behold, the arrows are beyond thee, go thy way, for the Lord hath sent thee away. So here's the plan. If dad reacts poorly, I'll shoot the arrows and tell the arrow retriever that the arrows are beyond him, and that's your signal to run. If that dad reacts well, I'll say that they're on this side of him, and that's your signal to come back to this side. Verse 23, and as touching the matter which thou and I have spoken of, behold, the Lord it be between thee and me forever. The covenant that we've made now, it's a binding covenant, and God will hold each of us responsible to honor this covenant. And by the way, years later, you remember Mephibosheth, who was one of the descendants of Jonathan, who was lame in his feet, and David shows him kindness, so David is going to honor this covenant. So David hid himself in the field, and when the new moon was come, the king set him down to eat meat. And the king sat upon his seat as at other times, even upon a seat by the wall. And Jonathan arose, and Abner sat by Saul's side, and David's place was empty. Now here's just a little funny thing. Did you notice that Saul sat with his back to the wall? He's paranoid. He's out to get somebody else. And he's afraid that somebody's out to get him, so he doesn't want anybody sneaking up behind him. If you ever go out to eat with Larry Laughlin, he always wants to sit facing the door so he can see anybody that's coming in if they're out to get him. Larry's got a lot of enemies, apparently. Okay. Abner was there. That's Saul's cousin, the commander of all of the army of Israel. He was sitting beside Saul, and David's place was empty. Nevertheless, verse 26, Saul spake not anything that day, for he thought, something hath befallen him. He is not clean. Surely he is not clean. I got to tell you, I think that's an odd verse. Don't you think that's an odd verse? In Saul's thinking, David is ritually, ceremonially unclean, and so he's unable to come because this is a religious festival. He's unable to come and participate because something happens. He's touched a dead body or something happened and he's not clean. But he'll be here tomorrow. Why wouldn't it enter into Saul's mind, David's not here because I'm trying to kill him? You know, he's smart enough to know he needs to stay away. But it doesn't. The Bible tells us what Saul's thinking. And he's thinking that David is unclean. And it came to pass on the morrow, which was the second day of the month, that David's place was empty. And Saul said unto Jonathan, his son, wherefore cometh not the son of Jesse to meat neither yesterday nor today? Now, if he was unclean the day before, he should have been clean and prepared for the meal on the second day. And the second day he's not there. So now Saul's suspicions are aroused. And Jonathan answered Saul, David earnestly asked leave of me to go to Bethlehem. And he said, let me go, I pray thee. For our family hath a sacrifice in the city, and my brother, he hath commanded me to be there. And now if I have found favor in thine eyes, let me get away, I pray thee, and see my brethren. Therefore he cometh not unto the king's table. So Jonathan's putting the plan into action. Then Saul's anger was kindled against Jonathan. And he said unto him, thou son of the perverse, rebellious woman, do not I know that thou hast chosen the son of Jesse to thine own confusion and unto the confusion of thy mother's nakedness? Saul said, you are a rebel against your own father. You're a traitor. He wasn't calling Jonathan's mother perverse. He was calling Jonathan perverse. And he said, you have done this to your own confusion and the confusion of your mother's nakedness. He's saying, you've done this to your own shame. Shame on you for being a traitor to your loving father. And you've also shamed your mother. You've brought shame on your mother because you're a traitor. And you've sided with David instead of with me. Verse 31. Now pay very close attention to verse 31. For as long as the son of Jesse liveth upon the ground, thou shalt not be established, nor thy kingdom. Wherefore now send and fetch him unto me, for he shall surely die. Now did you catch that? Saul says to Jonathan, son, I'm only protecting your legacy. As long as David lives, you'll never be king. Bring him to me and I'll kill him so you can be king. Now remember that. Verse 32, Jonathan answered Saul his father and said unto him, wherefore shall he be slain? What hath he done? And Saul cast a javelin at him to smite him, whereby Jonathan knew that it was determined of his father to slay David. Saul tried to kill Jonathan. Well, if he's so concerned about Jonathan being the next king of Israel, why is he trying to kill him? He wasn't concerned about Jonathan being the next king. He was concerned about him remaining the king and didn't want David to dethrone him. So, and of course, when Saul tries to kill Jonathan, Jonathan is finally convinced that Saul wants to kill David. So Jonathan arose from the table in fierce anger and didn't eat no meat the second day of the month, for he was grieved for David and because his father had done him shame. And it came to pass in the morning that Jonathan went out into the field at the time appointed with David and a little lad with him. This will be the third day of the feast. And he said unto his lad, run, find out now the arrows which I shoot. And the lad ran, he shot an arrow beyond him. And when the lad was come to the place of the arrow, apparently he shot two arrows, which Jonathan had shot. Jonathan cried out after the lad and said, is not the arrow beyond thee? Now listen, Jonathan is convinced. Listen to what he says. And Jonathan cried after the lad, make speed, haste, stay not. I mean, he's really warning David, right? Get out of here as quick as you can. Don't delay. Hurry up. Be gone. And Jonathan's lad gathered up the arrows and came to his master, but the lad knew not anything, only Jonathan and David knew the matter. And Jonathan gave his artillery unto his lad and said unto him, go carry them to the city. And as soon as the lad was gone, David arose out of a place toward the south and fell on his face to the ground and bowed himself three times. And they kissed one another and wept one with another until David exceeded. David bowed three times, fell on his face and bowed three times before Jonathan. That was a couple of things. That was acknowledging Jonathan as the current prince of Israel. It also signaled David's affection for Jonathan. And then you'll also notice that the Bible says that they wept, they kissed one another, and they wept until David exceeded. David is overcome. I think probably he's distressed for one thing. And he's overcome with emotion, and it's a monumental moment because David now knows he's going to have to flee. He's going to have to run. He's going to have to leave his home, his family. He's going to have to leave Jonathan, all of his friends. Most of all, he's going to have to leave Jerusalem and the temple, and he'll never be able to come back and worship at the temple until something changes, until Saul's dead or until David becomes the king, something, he'll never be able to come back. And I think these are all the things that are going through his mind. And the Bible says that he exceeded. He's just overcome with emotion. And Jonathan said to David, go in peace, for as much as we have sworn both of us in the name of the Lord, saying, the Lord be between me and thee and between my seed and thy seed forever. And he arose and departed, and Jonathan went into the city. This is the moment when David becomes a fugitive. This is the moment when he starts to living in caves and places like that. He finally goes down to the land of the Philistines. He even goes to Gath, where Goliath was from, to try to hide. But this is the moment when his life takes a dramatic change because now everybody in the kingdom knows Saul wants to kill David. David becomes public enemy number one, if you will. And those in Israel who want to please the king, and he's still the king, and those who want to please him now are going to try to get David. And so David's life is obviously under threat of death, and he is fleeing now for his own life. Thank you very much. Man, we got all the way through that. I got 5 minutes. Let me just start over. Thank you for coming. If you'll stand, we'll be dismissed. Dad, would you dismiss us, please?